If something's on your mind, making you mad, tips to stay kind, take time to breathe, put your head at ease, and let's talk about it.
Welcome one and all to episode number 4 of Talk About It podcast. This episode is going to focus on the best awards that were awarded at the Fresh Film Festival this year. So if you don't exactly know what I mean by this, the best awards were awarded for the categories of Best Director, Best Screenplay, Best Ensemble Cast, and indeed Best Visual Innovation. So Nelly Warren won Best Director this year, but she also won Best Animation. So I won't be interviewing her on this episode. I'll be interviewing her on a later episode that is exclusively about animation. Best Screenplay was won by my friend Kevin Meggs. A huge congratulations to him. Sunday, he won the award for his film Sunday, and it was such an incredible film. It is such an incredible film. I mean, between the music, the scenery, the actors who are just insane. I mean, everything about it, the story is so well told, and I know everyone who watched that film has come out of it just amazed by it, and I don't think there was anyone who didn't take something away from that film. It was just so gut-wrenchingly beautiful and so well made, and Kevin so deserved that award. Unfortunately, he's unable to join me for a chat on this episode. I will have him on the podcast at a later date, just unfortunately now is not suitable, but a massive congratulations to Kevin for his spectacular film and for all the work he's put into Fresh this year. A huge thank you to Kevin. He is such a force to be reckoned with, and I can't wait to see what he comes up with next. And of course, this episode, I will be chatting to the cast of behind the hilarious and dramatic film Teenage Type Beat. They won Best Ensemble Cast this year, and I will be talking to the genius animator behind the film Faces, that won Best Visual Innovation this year, Dylan. So without further ado, let's get into it. So as always, I'm delighted to announce this week's talented young musician is none other than Fia Moon with her original song By Now. And I won't lie, I've loved Fia Moon now for such a long time. And when one of my listeners suggested I ask for her music to be played on the podcast, I just could not say no. So I was so delighted when Fia agreed. If you like what you hear in this episode, then please give her a follow on her Instagram page at Fia_Moon. Their Instagram can also be found on my own Instagram page at _talkaboutitpodcast, where I have announced their feature on my episode. Fia is just such a talented individual. And of course, just to let everybody know, I always ask the permission of the musicians before I play any of their songs on my podcast. So I was so excited that Fia responded saying I could, because I love her music. And I'm so excited to be able to share it all with you today. So without further ado, this is Fia Moon with her original song, By Now.
Right all along, and all the thought you wrote for me. Are you singing them for her now instead? And every part of me that still holds on to the dream that you never meant the words that you said. I'd be better by now than when we were together. I'd be better by now, better. I'd be better by now than when we were together. I'd be better by now. I guess you don't remember. Tell me you're better off with her, and she doesn't have the burden. I'm better by now, better, better, better.
I am absolutely delighted to be joined here by Donna and Louis, the two people behind the hilarious comedy short film Teenage Type Beat. Lads, how are you today?
We're good.
I'm good. Yeah.
You're good. You're a bit nervous. It's all right.
We're doing good. Yeah, a little bit.
Don't be honest. Honestly, don't be worried at all. It's going to be a lovely, relaxed chat. You guys probably, I think, made the funniest film fresh this year. I mean, it was, your film was screened at the end of the first kind of set of films. So to describe the people who weren't there, the whole day was put into kind of three acts, if you will. The first bit of the day was the first half of the films. Second bit of the day was the second half of the films. Then we had a break and they recorded them, the award ceremony. So yours was the end of kind of the first act, if you will. And it had everyone cracking up. I mean, I was sitting by myself for the first bit. I was creased in my chair. It was just such a funny film, guys. It was so well done.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. My pleasure. I mean, no, I think we all came away from it saying that it was the funniest one there. I mean, just got everyone in a good mood. It was just fantastic. So what was the inspiration for that film? Because it was so simple, but it was so funny.
I think there are kind of two things. Like, I remember I was talking to my brother about, he was talking to me about Richard Linklater and like his movies, and the fact that when it comes to his movies and with the films like Dazed and Confused, it was kind of like, he felt that the sort of John Hughes movies weren't capturing the lives of teenagers properly. And the fact that in the movie Dazed and Confused, he just wanted to capture the like, average life of a teenager where nothing really happens. It's just, you know, an actual day in the life, which was kind of where I got the premise for it. And then I discussed it with Louis, and then we decided to actually like write it properly, because I feel like we both felt the same, that most teenage movies and teenage TV shows do not capture any, like, it's just not realistic whatsoever.
Yeah, definitely same for me. Just like, and also kind of, we wanted to make a film that we didn't want to go straight into like a production where we had no clue what we were writing about or like what we were actually filming. Like, we were basically just doing what we knew, like in a film, like, because we're obviously both teenagers. So
yeah, we were practically filming just a day in like our lives and our friends' lives, kind of. Not exactly, but we kind of just decided to like pick up loads of things that happened to loads of different people we know and put it all into this one film.
Yeah, and it definitely came across that way as well. Even watching it, it was just very like relatable. It was just the language used in it was just language you'd hear every day. Do you know that kind of way? It was very much the story you'd hear from teenagers. It was exactly what, you know, in your head would happen and does happen in everyday life. It was really fantastic to see, you know, portrayed so well on screen? And did you mean for it to be a comedy? Like, did you set out for it to be as funny as it was? Because it, there's just bits and pieces of it that I still, I'm laughing now. I haven't seen it since, but I remember bits and pieces from it. And it was just, it's just brilliant.
I mean, initially, I think we meant to be a bit more serious. And then we started writing it. And then we didn't want to be taken too seriously, like because we wanted to kind of be able to have a joke and laugh, because obviously there's a few serious topics in it.
Yeah.
But then as we were writing it, we were like, what if like we keep the mood light throughout the film so that people don't come out of it like, oh, that was a like an emotional wreck, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And they come out of it instead thinking that was hilarious but also very deep, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel as though when we intended on writing the movie first, it was kind of a thing of we wanted it to be dramatic, but we also wanted it to be sort of comedic as well, because that's kind of just what happens in the life of, you know, teenagers and stuff like that. There's the comedy elements of just the real world, and then there's the dramatic elements of just everything being so overdramatic in this time at this age, where I think also assisted with the comedy, because when you're looking at it and you're looking at the things that they're arguing over and stuff like that, it is funny because it just, there's no reason for it, it's so over dramatic.
Yeah,
which kind of I feel put it along the lines of a comedy.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think you put it so well, because there is certainly drama in it and there's action in it and there's underlying stories throughout, and I think that's what I loved. Every character had his own kind of story, had his own backstory. It was so well thought through and it all merged together really well. Because sometimes I find when you watch films and there's so many characters with so many stories, you almost get lost. Where you guys had these underlying stories, the overall plot, and it just works so well. Like, there was the action, you had your comedy, the drama. It was put together really well. So the actors in it, how did you do that, and how did you write your characters, because they were so well portrayed?
So when it came to the characters, I kind of, when I came with the present, with the idea for the whole thing, I kind of imagined me as Sean, just when I was thinking of it in my head, and Louis as James. So I kind of, that was already set in stone, those two characters.
Okay.
Now we wanted a third character, but we didn't know if any of our friends would actually be willing to be a third character.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew what the character wanted, what we wanted the character to be. We wanted him to be a bit of a pothead, you know, whatever. But doesn't know whether he's coming or going. But we didn't really know if, like, which one of our mates would actually suit him, or which one of our mates would want to be him, you know. So like, I was on the dart with one of my mates, and he was like, oh, I really want to do something this summer. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, I don't know, a project or something like that, just like actually do something this summer. And I was like, oh, this is actually incredibly handy, because we were planning on filming a short film this summer. And I was like, would you like to do it? And he was like, I don't know, really, me and acting, I don't think I'll be able to do it, because he had no acting experience. And we go, oh no, listen, we'll just tell you what to do, you'll be fine, it'll be grand. And so what we did was we tried to write the character around this friend being the character, because we already had the character sort of planned out, but then we realized this fella's going to have no acting experience. Let's kind of try and make it as simple as possible, which I think sort of helped with this character, because he doesn't really know whether he's coming or going. He's not going to be giving like a lot of words all the time, you know, which I think kind of helped. When it came to Louis's dad, Louis just asked his dad, could you do it, because he needed a dad in the movie. And then when it came to the jelly giver,
the jelly giver is as his official name in the script was,
yeah,
because we were writing it one late night and we just thought that was hilarious, like we couldn't stop laughing at it.
It was,
and then we weren't sure who it was going to be. So it was a toss-up between Donna's friend in fifth year and my friend in third year, yeah. So we wanted it to be just kind of someone a little bit goofy, someone a little like, or a little bit like out of the ordinary, kind of, if that makes sense. And then Donna was like, no, trust me, my friend will do it perfectly. Ben will do it perfectly. And then we got him in, and he killed it. He didn't know anything about
he just
was himself, and it was the funniest thing, because like at the start he was like looking at the camera and all, and it was the way he just was perfect for the role, because it was so like the actual situations that he was in were meant to be stupid, so the fact that he had no acting experience just made it even stupider, and it perfectly fit it. And yeah, we got really lucky with the actors. They're all really, really good. Not surprisingly, but luckily enough.
Well, hey, you won Best Ensemble in the Fresh Film Festival this year. A massive title. So first, that's the first award you won, I should say. That's the first award you won. So big congratulations to that. And, you know, fair play to all the lads that were behind this film, because it did. It came together so well. And it's credits to ye that it came together so well. And, you know, it comes through with this award, winning Best Ensemble. What was that like, winning that award?
Well,
Louis. Unfortunately, I was currently, when we won that award, I was in Donnybrook playing a rugby match at that moment in time.
As we heard.
playing the cup final. So which I unfortunately lost. It was a very bad game on our behalf. When I arrived back into the changing rooms, you know, everyone was a bit upset or whatever. I look at my phone and I see that we won that award, and I was like, what? Like that's mad. But obviously, Louis has a completely different experience of it.
My experience, it was great. Like it went smoothly and everything, but it was. It was so random. Like I wasn't, well, when we came to the Best Ensemble cast, I kind of had a bit of hope. I was like, no, we had a good cast. We had a solid cast. So,
yes.
But then thank you. But then when the name got called out, especially for the other one, the audience award before that.
Yes.
That,
yeah.
Cause that was the first one we won. It's like the opposite of having your heart drop when something bad happens. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I went down people laughed at the speech, and I don't know why really, but you know, I got a laugh out. So it was a great feeling, you know.
And definitely you won the Audience Choice Award. That was my next question as well. And I do have to tell you a bit of a story, so bear with me here. When I was at Fresh over the day, I was lucky enough to be invited down, and I met this big group of teens all chatting together. I said, here, get you all together for a chat. So I dragged them all over to a quiet corner of the room, and I said, look, tell me about your favorite films, whatever. And all of them kind of were chatting with me, and then one of them said, I loved the really funny one, was that the teenage type beat, and everyone went, yes, and everyone just started bursting out laughing, because it was an audience favorite, 100%. So it was no surprise to me anyway that you won that, because it's just a great film. Like I don't really know how to describe it without giving the entire plot away, but it was just everything that everyone enjoyed it in the film. And I think there's such a wide variety of films on the day. Like there's animation to the more serious type of films, to comedies, to romance. There was everything there. So it was amazing that your film stood out to everybody, and very, you know, very deserving. So what was that like to win that award as well?
Well, I was blown away. When I looked at my phone and I saw that, and when Louis texted it to me, I was blown away. The audience like loved ours the best, which is like an insane thing to think, because that's so many people and so many really talented people who put in incredible films to say that ours was their favorite, which blew me away, especially when after I was able to watch like the rest of the films that won, when Fresh put it up on their website, to see all the other films that won. Like Sean Tracy's, for example, like that was an incredible film.
Yeah, it was.
But the way that people thought ours was like at that level, and it was their favorite, there was like it was insane to see that, you know, that people loved it so much, and people understood it as well, because that was one of our biggest fears, was like me and Louis, when we were editing the film, we're kind of just sitting there going, oh, no one's going to understand this, because like, not in a way that like, oh, we're too smart for everyone else, not like that, but like in a way that we didn't portray what we wanted to get across. Like, we didn't do our job properly.
Okay.
We thought it wasn't like, people wouldn't understand what we are trying to get across. But the fact that people did understand it and they really loved it was insane to see.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't televised, so I had the kind of weight of my shoulder of being on TV at that point. So I was less nervous, I'd say. Again, it was kind of, because I voted for Sunday. I thought, in my opinion, that was my favorite
one. By Kevin Meggs. Yeah, he won. Yeah. He won best screenplay in this year's final. Class film. Such an amazing film.
Yeah, it was.
I really enjoyed it, personally. So I voted for that one. I just thought, like, yeah. And then I kind of had it in my head that there was a few other ones that maybe might have been just had that edge over ours, like to get the audience award. But obviously we got a big audience reaction, like it was apparent, but I wasn't sure if that was just because it was a comedy and people were laughing at it rather than another more serious film like Sunday or The Least I Can Do, Sean Tracy's film. Since they were serious, obviously no one was going to give a big reaction, like a laugh or anything. So it was really hard to tell. But then, like, when I got called out, obviously, it was that feeling of anti-heart drop, just being like, oh, yes. Like, it was almost like being relieved. It's like, it was just a great feeling altogether. And the hosts are really nice. They're funny. When I came down. And everyone was really nice about it. A few people, like, said, well done, good.
I say the commodity there, I think the community within, like, everybody that was there. I've said it before, I'll say it again, the respect that everyone has for each other's films. You know, Sean throughout, like, everybody's films are so different. You had historical dramas, you had your comedy, you had, there was lesbian romance thrown in there. There was, there's a film where these old school friends got together and all ate dinner. Like, and then you went to a film about, like, the Oubliette. That was all, like, serious.
And that was insane.
About animation. Yeah, so I think that's what I'm trying to stress to people, that the power of film, it's just, I think when people only watch film, they only have the one film in their mind. And that's, you know, if they like comedy, they'll only watch comedy. But the beauty of Fresh is you are not made sit down, but you're encouraged to sit down and to watch all the films and to see the different talent that young people have in Ireland. And I think that's so important, that no matter where you come from or who you are, people have that talent for film and anyone can make a film.
Definitely.
So can I ask how you both got into film? Louis, if you want to start, and Donna, continue after him, how you both got interested and started in film.
Well, it's a long story, very, very long. It's so when me and Donna were young, so we've been friends since we were quite young, like, I don't know, maybe 5, and Donna would have been 6 or 7. I used to have this iPad, and I remember finding out what iMovie was when I went to like an iPad camp, and I went out and I was like, I showed Donna, I was like, oh, look at this is so cool, like, you can make these trailers. So we'd make these terrible like little trailers of movies that weren't gonna come out, obviously, and then eventually we figured out that you could just make a movie, and we were like, okay, this is like new territory. So we started doing that, and we were just messing around, and we made our first ever film. It was called Spoof Movie. I think I was about 8, and it was just absolute trash. There's no substance to it whatsoever. And it was just us going around filming like our mates and whatever was on around us. And then we made Spoof Movie 2, which, you know, wasn't as well received, but it's okay. And then as time went on, we kind of faded out from it a little bit, and we kind of moved into YouTube and stuff. And then like that kind of gave us a better idea of what it was like to be seen on camera. So our stuff was kind of more public. And we continued that during lockdown. We picked it back up, And then we made, I mean, I'll let Donna talk about this one, but we made our second short film, or a third one, if you can, spoof movie two. It was called Duke and Big Dog. And I'll let Donna continue from there.
So basically, Duke and Big Dog was a, we were going to make a series of it on our YouTube channel, but we made like two episodes and it kind of just faded out. We just stopped doing YouTube for a while, but then lockdown hit and there was nothing else to do. And there was this filmmaking course that my mom put me on, because me and Louis at this stage, we kind of weren't, we didn't think about filmmaking or anything like that. Our main goals were like, oh, we want to be either a writer or an actor. That was it. We didn't think that like filmmaking was ever an option, but because we didn't really understand it. But then it was only like, you know, as we grew up that we realized, oh, we've actually been doing it all like for so long. We just didn't realize we were actually doing it. But yeah, so my mom put me onto this course, this filmmaking course, and I asked Louis if he wanted to do it too, and Louis said, yeah, all right. And at the end of the course, we had to produce like a short film. Now, the short film only had to be like at most 5 minutes, but me and Louis decided that we would make one that's like 20 minutes long. But we only had 2 days to make it. We wrote a script and everything, but we only had 2 days to make it. So we didn't sleep once. We literally just stayed up every night the whole day, from like 7 a.m. to 7 a.m. the next morning. Those 2 days, made this film on my iPhone 6S, and we made the whole thing. But we didn't end up getting it finished in time for it to be shown to the person doing the course. So it was very unfortunate. But it was a comedy movie, but all our families seemed to enjoy it and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool, I suppose. Lou, do you want to continue on then?
It is, yeah. Now, listen, you're a part of Fresh and you've won 2 awards. So up and up.
Yeah, exactly. It's mad. Yeah, it's mad.
And was acting and writing always a roofie? Did you always see yourself, both of you, did you see yourselves going down that route more so than film directing and filmmaking?
I think so. I think, well, I kind of always wanted to be an actor since I was about 8 and I did my first like school play. But like I always quite liked writing, but I didn't really know how to put writing into anything else. I was like, I liked writing short stories. I would attempt to write a book, but I'd never be able to finish the book because I just didn't have that attention span.
Okay.
Every time I was writing something or a story, I always imagined it like, oh, this would be cool as a movie, you know. But I was like, oh, I can never do that though. And I think Louis was the same as well. So then it kind of got to a stage that like when we did Duke and Big Dog, and then I found out about Fresh once we finished that short film, I was like, oh, why don't we actually make something here and put it into this competition to see if we can achieve something?
Definitely. I was always, like, since the very first short film we made when we were just like little kids, acting was always kind of something that I thought I was destined for, you know. I remember my mom would always say it. She'd always say two things, like, you're going to be an actor, you're going to be a director, and you're going to be an accountant. And then the accountancy is to make money, just in case the acting and directing doesn't work. And I was like, I'm not going to be an accountant, but, you know, I might do a bit of acting. I never really understood what directing was, I think, when I was younger. So it was always kind of just went straight to acting. And then luckily at the same time as Donna, we kind of both ended up just, it was really that filmmaking course that we did. We ended up both just kind of coming to this conclusion that no, we want to be directors. But I mean, for ages, for most of my life, I've always wanted to be kind of an actor, or at least something in the arts. Like, that's kind of my worst fear, not doing something like that, you know?
Yeah, no, I get you. And there's so much you can do in the arts. And I think, yeah, and I think credits to Fresh for always, you know, keeping people going and giving people like the the strength to keep going and the encouragement, the word I'm looking for, the encouragement to keep going. Even with my podcast as well, they're so good just to let me at it, to let me have full creative reign. Like,
oh yeah, definitely.
People there are just brilliant. So credit to them, because I know they're listening. So thank you guys for everything you do. But unfortunately, guys, we are running out of time. I'm going to ask you the last two questions. Louis, I'm going to start with you and ask, what is one quote you live by and why?
For the quote, I kind of had one in mind that, you know, the quote, it is what it is.
Yes.
I like that one because it's just kind of like, if it doesn't work out, then, you know, maybe it wasn't supposed to. Or, you know, like, if life gives you lemons, you know, well, you can't do anything. You have lemons now, you know. I can't, like, that's kind of my idea of why. That's why I like that quote, because I just think it's nice one, you know.
It's a good one. And one thing you would like people to take away from this conversation here today, Donna, I'll ask you that question.
I feel as though, like, if you have a passion and you really enjoy doing something, I feel like you should do it, and you should push to do it no matter what anyone else says, even if you get slagged for it or whatever. Like, especially at this age, it's very common to get slagged over doing anything or putting yourself out there. But definitely if you have a passion for it, go for it.
Amazing, guys. Sound advice, a brilliant quote. Thank you so much for joining me here today, and I can't wait to see everything else you continue to do in the future.
Thank you so much for this.
So I'm delighted to be joined here today by Dylan, the director of the film Faces, that won Best Visual Innovation at the Fresh Film Festival this year. Dylan, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me on.
An absolute pleasure. And your film is something else. I'm not a huge person that's into animation. When I watch film, I love murder mystery, I love action, I love a bit of comedy. I wouldn't sit down and willingly watch that animation. So for me to go into Fresh this year and to see so many animation films put me out of my comfort zone. But I loved it, and I've come away from Fresh and I have watched animation films since, I'm proud to say. So yeah, your film was just so different and just amazing, honestly.
I mean, it's funny that you say it put you out of your comfort zone watching them, because, you know, making it was kind of out of my comfort zone, because I have had very little experience with animation going into it. Visual effects is kind of my wheelhouse, and editing and stuff like that. So I kind of really limited the air quote unquote animation to just the single character, to just make it a more manageable scope. But it's just, I'm flattered that you can consider me along with a great crop of animators there. Thank you.
No, definitely. I think a lot of us came away. I was chatting with Nelly earlier on this week, who won Best Animation this year at Fresh, and we're both saying how Faces was just so different from, you know, the rest of the animation films. I think they all kind of had their own individuality as such, but yours is very, very different, because yours didn't surround drawing as such, and people who watch the film are going to get what I mean by this. Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Well, Faces, it consists of around 2,500 plus-ish pictures, real online submissions. People sent me a picture of their face, and I made them into a big soup of an animation, combined them all together, the story of which is pretty much a man wakes up in this mysterious hallway tiled with said faces, and he sees a light at the end. The sequence of events is pretty much his thought process as he makes his way towards that light, and there's something waiting for him at the end, but I'm not going to spoil what it is. So that's pretty much the general gist, the plot.
It is unreal. I think it's so striking at the beginning of the film. I think for me, it was the first kind of, I said this to you when we chatted in person, for me, it's the first 30 seconds to the minute of the film, because you see all these faces flashing at you. And I was sitting beside my friend, and the two of us just went audibly, wow, because it was such a visually striking kind of film. How did you come up with the idea for it?
Well, it kind of started small. I remember in lockdown in 2020, I was kind of just bored and looking for a bit of visual effects practice. So I plucked a bunch of images of famous people, people from pop culture, people from internet culture, and just merged them into this big animation, no story behind it. But that was the original concept. I threw that online. It did half decent. So I was like, a few months later, I was thinking the first time was pretty fun. Why don't I give it another crack? So I opened up the floor to online submissions. That resulted in another short animation through online. Did all right again. I shelved the idea for a bit until I realized, you know, I had about, at the time, 800 to 900 pictures just burning a hole in my hard drive. Like, who else has access to those kind of resources? So, you know, just condensing it down to a short little 20 second bit of visual effects practice kind of didn't feel like I was doing them justice. So I thought I might as well come up with the story that facilitates these faces that only I'm able to tell with these resources. So that's how the idea came about anyways.
Unreal. I mean, there's really nothing. I haven't seen anything like it. It's just the idea is quite simple, but so striking, and just it stays with you. It really, really does. How you said at the beginning, you're not an animator. You haven't always been into animation. So how have you started now? How have you reached where you are today?
Well, I first picked up, well, my first software was this just free editing software. I used to make these these little mashups for my friends and I, and eventually I put them to video just as kind of inside jokes and stuff like that. And you know, one thing led to another, and I kind of really enjoyed the whole video making process, and that led to kind of picking up Adobe After Effects, which is the software I use to this day, and you know, kind of dabbling with 3D, because I'm always looking to learn new things. So I've kind of skirted on the fringes of animation for quite a while, a couple of years, but I've never fully dived in, and this was my first time giving it a go.
And you really succeeded in doing it as well. And is that how your interest in film came about as well? Was it just through those small kind of projects that kind of led you up to bigger films?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I've always been a big, lack of a better term, I've always been a big nerd for film, but I never thought about making my own films until kind of these small little, honestly, just little comedic projects that I'd show my mates and I'd throw online. And I mean, that kind of one thing led to another, and I kind of fell in love with like editing and stuff like that in the process. And that's just kind of like, I can focus for hours if I'm just tinkering away at a video for hours. So that's just kind of where I feel at home. And that's how I figured out.
That's amazing. It really, really is. Do you have any tips for anyone starting out editing, starting out with animation, anything at all? Any tips that you think would kind of help people get started in it? Because I think the idea is always more daunting than actually doing it.
Honestly, YouTube is your best friend. YouTube is your best
friend. No way. Okay.
In most things, but especially when you're learning editing and animation, stuff like that, YouTube is your best friend. Just pick up a software and get it done. I know so many people who just keep postponing it because they see other stuff online. They're like, oh, I'm not as good. But, you know, get a free software. Blender is a completely free software. No strings attached. Just the industry standard. If you start learning that, like, today, okay, you can have it cracked. You know, just get started is probably the main bit of advice.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And I think that's been something said to me throughout all the interviews so far I've had, is just get started. Just do it. Like, what are you waiting for? I think it's so exhilarating as well when you do start it. And when you do have that passion for it, it comes easily, I think.
Definitely. I mean, it starts not even being, you kind of get in the zone. Like, yeah. you just get focused on what you're doing and tinkering around with little stuff, and I can spend like a couple hours just like making sure like a text scroll looks decent. You know, it's,
yeah,
you can get into such little nitty gritty details that it's pretty fun. I know, yeah. I'm making it sound incredibly boring, but it's pretty fun.
No, it's the same with podcasting as well. Someone came up to me recently and was like, oh, how much you make doing this? I was like, I make nothing doing this. And in saying that, I bought this mic cheaply. I mean, all the stuff I use is free. We're recording this on Zoom. I edit all this on Audacity, a completely free website. And I think people, when they see these kind of productions, they always think the money that goes in behind them, right? It's the automatic kind of standard or stereotype. You think, oh yeah, like if it's high production, then it's a lot of money's go into it. But that's not always the case. And I think that really shows as well with Fresh and with the films that have come out of it. A lot of these films were done on the budget, on the cheap, with no money.
I mean, yeah, My faces cost me about 200 quid out of my own money that I earned from a summer job. And that was just really, the narrator was a friend of mine who lives in New York. I just rang him up. He has his own microphone.
No way.
For his own project. So that's, he was happy to do it for free because he loved the script.
Insane.
Really, the crux of the cost was paying a single friend of mine to do a bit of visual effects in an ending sequence, just for a bit of visual variety.
Wow.
Because I knew bringing in a different style would help enhance that sequence. But more or less, if you get your friends involved especially, then the cost kind of evens out. I remember last year I made a film that cost 60 quid in all, and all of that price went to hiring people on Fiverr on the cheap for voice actors.
Stop, no way.
I mean, it's a little tip for you there. Hop on Fiverr if you're looking for voice actors. But that's, yeah, I mean, I think because I do so much myself, I like, it's quite the thrill, you know, minimizing the cost at every opportunity and still coming out with something decent.
Yeah. You know? Hey, it shows. And a lot of people have said it to me. And I think, you know, that's why Fresh is such a fantastic opportunity for these kind of things to really, really show, you know, the passion of people and how, if people are dedicated to idea, that they'll get it done. Was this your first time entering Fresh, and what was the atmosphere like being there this year?
This was my first time being present at the finals. I was there, I've entered 2 years before. Last year was it wasn't animated, but it wasn't filmed either. I kind of shaped the idea around not having a camera. It was like a screen based, from the perspective of a screen.
Okay.
Set in Windows 95, and the year before that I entered with my TY cinematography class, and the less said about that the better. It was kind of a phoned in project.
Yeah, okay.
Where we were just kind of going through the motions, fulfilling the quota. But in the after lockdown hit was when I really started taking it seriously, and was like, okay, I'm gonna pour my passion into this, you know, pull out all the stops, go full DIY on all my things, you know. So this is my first year at the competition in person, which was insane seeing it on the big screen compared to the many nights toiling away in my dark room on my laptop to it being blown up, huge sound. It was surreal, honestly.
Yeah, I think everyone's kind of come away saying that. And I think as well, as someone who was watching it, like, I had no films entered. I was getting a lot of messages from people saying, I didn't know you entered a film. I was like, no, I'm here with the podcast. But I was just there, you know, totally experiencing everything. I had seen bits and pieces of films, but I hadn't seen the whole of certain films. So to go in and to watch it as like an outsider, quote unquote outsider, of entering was just unreal. I mean, it was the entire atmosphere about the place. You're really able to soak it up, and it was weird because everyone was meeting each other for the first time in person or first time ever. It was just an experience.
Yeah, I definitely met a lot of great people there that I plan on keeping in touch with in the future. Anyways, it was a great experience. Yeah.
Yeah. And what was it like as well with RTE being there? I think that was a huge thing for everyone. But the red carpet, ooh, the cameras, it was insane.
I learned that day I need some media training. I'm not a man for the RTE on camera interview. you don't know where to look, you don't know what to do with your hands. It was definitely a learning experience for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something else. I mean, even sitting in the theater and watching the whole award ceremony being recorded, I mean, it was something else. Like, in my head, I just felt like I was there watching it. I wasn't even thinking that it was going to be recorded. So to see it on TV, the link is down below in the description box for people who want to go watch it after this and hear Dylan's very funny speech, where he nearly gave poor producers of RTE, I'm sure, nearly half a heart attack with his speech when he took out the piece of paper. You know, I think it was just insane to be a part of that experience.
Yeah, definitely. Like, the whole awards filming the ceremony, it was kind of a real peek behind the curtain at kind of the inner workings of this thing. Hopefully it's something I can get used to, maybe.
I hope so. Do you have any future projects, anything you want to work on animation style in person?
Well, I feel like I feel like I've kind of exhausted my non-camera ideas. I'm gonna try double down on both ends of the spectrum, both try to do animation and try to pick up like traditional camera setup, you know, shot film. I have a couple ideas in both regards, and hopefully I got a couple collaborations, I hope anyways, with some of the people I met up there. But yeah, so I have a couple ideas.
That'd be amazing. And for people who want to go watch the film, is there a place that they can go watch the film? Or
it's on YouTube. Yeah, it's Faces short film, that's what it's called.
Okay, perfect. And I'll put that link in the description box below, so you'll find the link to the RTE, and you'll find the link to Dylan's film as well. But yeah, Dylan, I can't wait to see what you do in the future, because I think it's going to be really, really exciting to watch you merge animation and in person. It's going to be class. You won Best Visual Innovation in the Fresh Film Festival this year. What was it like winning that award for you?
I don't even know, honestly. It was kind of bizarre, because I didn't expect to. Well, I don't know. I don't know how to. That's one of those questions where you like felt good, I guess. Nothing more to say about that.
Watching the other animation films, how did that make you feel about your own film, knowing that, you know, you're amongst these other animators in this shared space of creativity and just innovation?
I was lucky enough to be, well, there's one there, Max Hendrickson's one was insane. I was lucky enough to be friends with him before the show, and he fully deserved his placement. I was very humbled when he showed me his before the ceremony. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm not winning this.
No, he's insane. And actually, insane
his reputation his film is.
100%. Like, he is such a talented individual. And as well, I remember when I met the two of you at the Film Awards, I was embarrassed coming away afterwards, because obviously I'd heard so much about Max. And then to meet you and your film Faces, and to put like a face to the film, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
See you two together, I was like, oh my God, so much talent in the one room. I was just blown away. I was like, oh, these people are so talented. What am I doing? It's insane. It really, really is. So I wish you all the best with all your future animation and film creating. And I can't wait to see what you do in the future. But I'm going to ask you the final two questions now before I let you go. And the first one is, what is a quote you live by and why?
The quote I live by is Martin Scorsese's, the most personal is the most creative. If you put, you know, a bit of yourself in your work, then it just can't help but shine through, you know. So just try to have at least a little bit of a personal investment in everything you make, and it'll just automatically make it a million times better.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one before. I really like it. Can I ask how you stay creative as a person, as a director?
I'm a very restless person. I can't be working on something too long. You know, I hop from different project to different project, and, you know, different style to different style. You know, one week I could be learning bit of Blender, another week I can be, you know, honing a bit of Photoshop skills. Like, you just need a bit of variety, like, just to shake things up creatively speaking, you know.
Okay, cool, I like that as well. And one thing you want people to take away from our conversation here today?
Okay, one thing I want you to take away, this is going to be a long answer, but
no harm,
you do not need equipment to make a good movie. One of my favorite movies of all time is a little film called Who Killed Captain Alex, and it is an action movie made for roughly $80 in the slums of Uganda, and it is genuinely one of the most endearing and just enjoyable experiences ever made. The filmmakers, when they set out, They didn't have any money, but they wanted, their sole purpose was to entertain, and it's one of the most entertaining movies ever made. And it's free on YouTube if you want to give it a watch. That's how you make a movie with no money. Just pure passion, love of film. That's how you get it done. You do not need, so many people get paralyzed by wanting it to be perfect, or I don't have industry standard equipment. Like, both my previous films were created with the stipulation that I didn't own a camera. They were just made on my computer here. Me by myself. And that's, you do not need equipment. That's the takeaway from this.
Yeah, amazing. I think I'll second you on that, Dylan, because it's fantastic advice. And I think people just get so honed up in it that they need the money, that they need the equipment. Where if you have a phone, you're all set, basically. Or a computer.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, wise words, Dylan. Thank you so much for joining me on here today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. See ya.
So all the resources and links that we've mentioned throughout this episode is going to be put in the description box below. So you can find the film Teenage Type Beat. You can find the film Faces. You can find the film How I Wonder by Nelly Warren. And you can find the film Sunday, all in the links in the description box below. You're also going to be able to find the link to the RTE player. We can watch back the award ceremony that was on RTE. And you're also going to find the link to the Fresh Film Festival website, so you can go and read up a little bit more about Fresh and what they do every year. And then, of course, you'll find my own link where you can find more of my details and my writing and more podcast links and stuff like that. So don't worry, the fun doesn't end here. There is so much more you can do. So grab your popcorn, get a cozy blanket, bring your friends or family around, sit around and just watch these incredible films. Please, I urge you to support these young people who are so talented and so innovative. These films are just spectacular. Every single one of them are so different, but each of them are going to take your breath away. So that is all for this week's episode. A huge thank you to Dylan, Donna and Louis for coming on and having this interview with me. I really appreciate it and it was such a pleasure to chat to them. And next week is going to bring another fantastic interview with even more amazing guests. So the one thing I want you to take away from this episode here today is that anyone can make a film. No matter who you are or what your story is, everyone has a story to tell. Young people are so powerful. We are such powerful people because the future is in our hands and we can all make a difference. And I think that starts with just being able to talk about it, being able to pick up a film and make it, to show someone, to tell someone, make things happen. You have the power to do that. So please come away from this episode feeling empowered and feeling like you can do anything you put your mind to, and you can make a film, you can write a book, you can go to the Olympics. Whatever your goal is in life, you can achieve it. You can do it if you set your mind to it. Anything is possible. And I want you to take that away from today's episode. And I hope you do. So until next week, I hope everyone keeps well.
Thanks for listening, giving us your time to tune in.